This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One category.
I don't get a chance to go to many movies.
15 seconds.
Time, Dayton. You got two running backs.
Oh, my gosh.
How will you handle the pressure?
Tom, Teddy, Roger, Junior.
It's Pick a Player.
He has a slider from hell.
On the Drive.
Back in On the Drive, Carrington here. Specter here. Sports Machine Sean Levine here. We will go around the NFL coming up in 15 minutes. We'll also get back to the NBA draft at 4:30. Wasn't just about Michael Porter yesterday. Devontae Graham was drafted as well. Sfi Mikhailiuk was selected as well. Malik Newman, undrafted. We will get back to the NBA draft coming up at 4:30. If you missed it, Michael Porter Jr. was drafted 14th overall. Devontae Graham was drafted in the exact same spot as Frank Mason was last season. I cannot remember where Sfi was drafted the number, but I know he was drafted by the Los Angeles Lakers. And Malik Newman will be playing summer league, just like Jordan Barnett. And they're still working on Cassius Robertson from Missouri. But I can't remember where Malik Newman signed off the top of my head.
Lakers.
He signed with Lakers too. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he did. You're right. He signed a two-way deal with the Lakers. But right now, it is a time to play Pick a Player. If you're not familiar with the game, it is very simple. All we do is we ask you a category. So, colors, red, blue, green, indigo, violet, orange, purple. And then you go up against a celebrity. Today's celebrities are maybe not a celebrity in the sense, but they matter a whole lot to me. It is the guys from 610 Sports Radio. So you have Bob Fesco, Josh Klingler, Henry Lake, and Jay Binkley to go up against in Pick a Player today. We've got Kevin, Tim, Allie, and Steve in the OP. Let's head to Kevin. Kevin Olenek. How are you doing today, Kevin?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. All right, you've got Fesco, Kling, Lake, and Bink. Who are you going up against?
Fesco.
All right, Fesco had NFL quarterbacks. Kevin, how many different NFL quarterbacks can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes, Carson Palmer, Colin Kaepernick count yet? Not quite. Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Mitch Trubisky, Kaiser.
You know what, Kevin? Just for the culture, I'll give you Colin Kaepernick. I'm giving you Colin Kaepernick. No, I'm giving it to you.
I wanted to give it to him, but just the fact that he didn't say Tom Brady, it weirds me out.
Oh, you're gonna
makes me a little sick to my stomach. I'll give it to him.
You're knocking him out?
I'll give it to him.
I'm just saying, Cap should be a quarterback in 2018.
You got Cap.
That's neither here nor there.
We can balance it out with him saying Deshone Kaiser.
Yeah, we'll give him both.
Who might not be a real NFL quarterback anymore at this point? All right, what did he get?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 spot.
7 spot for Kevin and Lenexa. Let's hear if Sports Talk Radio host Bob Fesco knows his NFL QBs.
Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Eli Manning, Carson Wentz, Alex Smith, Sam Bradford, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan.
I got a 9 spot for one Billy Bob Fesco.
So do I, but again, how do you say Sam Bradford before you say – how does Sam Bradford come to mind before Tom Brady? I don't get it.
You're making really, really good points, ones I cannot argue in the least bit. All right, Kevin Olenexa, thanks for playing, but you have been eliminated from the game. Tim in Olathe. Timmy, how you doing today?
Good.
All right, you've got Kling, Bink, Lake. Who you picking?
Oh, Lake all the way.
All right, our guy Lake, he has hot drinks. How many hot drinks can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Hot chocolate, caramel latte, mocha latte, vanilla latte, cappuccino, coffee with cream, hot double cider.
Ooh, that's the cider pull at the end. I'm giving him the cider pull. I'm in a generous mood today.
Yeah, Stevenson's cider is phenomenal, although Speck, can we give him coffee and coffee with cream?
No, I didn't give him
that. You also don't get chocolate latte, white latte.
No, those are separate drinks. I give you that.
It's a latte.
Yeah, but a chocolate and a white latte.
Yeah, I'm giving you that. I'm giving you that.
It's latte.
I'm giving. But
you cherry Airhead, mystery Airhead, blueberry Airhead. You get Airhead as a candy.
Yeah, he might.
Once you put it like that.
Yeah, he swayed my opinion with the Airhead thing. One, two, three, four,
five, six. Let me make a. I'll make a case for Tim. If we were doing sodas and you said Fanta and you named strawberry Fanta, orange Fanta, it's still under the Fanta family, but those are two separate kinds.
Could you say cherry Coke, regular Coke, diet Coke?
Yeah, those would count.
Okay, so, well then I'm back on the other side. That's why I'm giving it to him. Yep.
I'm giving it to him. Give it to him.
I'm giving it to him.
It's Friday.
One, two, three, four, five, six. I should have thought he was so reluctant to give it to him. You go to Starbucks.
You get Java chip frappuccino. You get s'mores frappuccino. No, you get a frappuccino.
He doesn't get the coffee with cream.
You get the umbrella of the drink.
All right. How many are you giving him? Well, give me the number.
Yeah, how many are you giving him? Speck's so angry.
I know. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not angry. I just want to make sure this game is above board. This game is above board. We had someone curse last week on Pick a Player.
No, that's real.
I just want to make sure this game is above board.
And the train wreck that was, are you smart in the sports?
Don't even bring that up. I forgot about that.
Yeah, my bad. Seven. He's got seven.
All right, he's got a seven spot. All right, let's hear if Lake knows his hot drinks.
Tea, let's go. Cocoa, let's go. Coffee, let's go.
He's struggling. Can you guys help me with something?
What's that?
I'm just asking a question. What's the appeal of apple cider? It's hot apple juice. Why would I want hot apple juice? Apple juice is an amazing drink served cold. I love apple juice. A little in the morning with your breakfast, fantastic drink. I don't want it to be hot. I don't want you to take my apple juice and go put it in the microwave and then turn it on 2 minutes and serve it to me. That's not what I want.
Before you answer his question, remember that T-Dot's the same guy that thought that cheese soup was just melted cheese.
I did think that.
Take it with a grain of salt. What the hell is cheese soup? You never had cheese soup?
You've never been to Wade's back in the day.
It sounds like queso.
Now that you mention it,
it might actually be the same thing.
There's no such thing as cheese soup.
I was in Chicago a few months ago, and I went to a culture restaurant. I shouldn't have done it. I should have just stuck with my normal thing, and I walk in, and there's a bowl on the table with a spoon in it, right? Nothing else, no chips or anything. So I think that it's like a soup appetizer. So I start eating it and eating it. I'm like, that's kind of a unique flavor. Not bad. I've had worse. And then they brought the chips. So I guess it actually indeed was salsa that I ate like soup. The waitress laughed and laughed and laughed and then brought me another bowl.
I was really trying to play the more you know sounder, but I couldn't find it quick enough.
Now you know.
How many?
Plus four.
How many? Okay, plus four. All right, plus four for our guy Timmy in Olathe.
That's more of an indictment on Lake.
No one really answered my question when it came to apple juice. I move on from that. Because there is no appeal. I'm actually on the same side as you when it comes to the cheese soup. I mean, because my logic when he said that was tomato soup is just tomato. It's not all this other stuff.
No. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not just tomatoes.
I'm not having this conversation
with
you anymore.
It's not just, that's tomato juice.
I'm not having this conversation with you anymore. Ali, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
All right. You have Kling and Binkley to go up against in today's version of Pick a Player. Who you pick?
I can't imagine Jay Binkley being good at anything but drinking beer on Facebook Live, so I'm going to pick Jay Binkley, but I could be wrong.
I think we found something that Binkley is really good at. We named him ESPN.
Oh, man, there we go.
We named ESPN personalities. How many ESPN personalities can you name in 15 seconds? So your mark, get set, go.
Oh, crap. Let's see. Stuart Scott, Mitch Holthus, Lisa... I have no idea. I haven't watched ESPN in years, so.
I wonder if he knows Stuart Scott's dead. Should I tell him? I don't want to be the one to break the bad news. Stuart Scott no longer with us, man. And Mitch Holthus. Actually, he might do like a random ESPN.
He does Mo Valley games.
Mo Valley basketball game.
ESPN 3 plus.
So what do you get, one?
Are we giving a Mitch Holthus then?
Mitch Holthus is on ESPN.
He does the MVC during the tournament.
I would have gave it to him. So that's one. We're not giving him Stuart Scott, who, God rest his soul, has been dead over 5 years now. I don't feel like Stuart Scott counts.
ESPN and certainly SportsCenter has not been the same since the minute that Stuart Scott passed. Basically what I'm saying is it sucked ever since.
I think technology just changed.
That guy was cooler than the other side of the pillow.
I mean, I think everybody loves Stuart Scott.
I'm just saying
in the 90s, other than television, how else were you watching highlights?
But SportsCenter used to, it's kind of like MTV when it used to be videos. People liked it. Now it's Jersey Shore and a bunch of crap. Yeah, people just want their highlights. They don't want opinion all the time on ESPN on SportsCenter.
Same thing. Back in 1995, how else were you going to watch music videos other than television? Was there this YouTube invention back in 95
that I
could just go
of.
On there and just type it in?
No.
Because right now, if I really want to see the new Jay-Z and Beyonce video, I ain't got to wait for MTV to show it to me no more. I can just watch it on my phone. Like, that's what I think killed MTV and ESPN. We don't got to get into that, though. Let's hear if Jay Binkley knows his ESPN's personalities. I'm going to guess. I haven't heard this. I'm going 11. I think he gets 11.
I think he does better than one. I'm not going with 11.
I'm going with 11. Let's hear it.
Carl Ravitch,
never mind.
Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso, Dwight Howard,
what?
Chris Berman. He still works there, so gotta give me that one. John Anderson.
Did he say Dwight Howard?
Where'd that come from? He was like a Scott Van Pelt, John Anderson, Aunt Rochelle, Kenny Mayne.
Yo, did he say Dwight Howard?
Where the hell did Dwight Howard's name come from? I know Binkley. I'm not going to say he's a simple-minded guy, but here's what I think happened, okay? I think one of the TV monitors is on. I think Dwight Howard right now is in the news, right, because they're trying to buy out his contract or whatever. He saw Dwight Howard out of the corner of his eye, and he panicked, and he said his name. That's what I think happened.
Who do we think he meant when he thought Dwight Howard?
Like, Howard Stern?
Who do we think he was talking about? Bomani Jones? Michael Smith? Like, who do we think he was talking about when he said Dwight Howard? Like, I don't want to know. I don't know who he's talking about.
Followed up by Berman. Is Berman even at the network anymore?
Okay. All right.
That was
bad. The guy just hung up. He knew that he was not a winner. All right, Steve in the OP. How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fantastic. All right, you guys to go up against Josh Klingler. How are you feeling about that?
I guess we'll find out.
Kling had shoe brands. How many different shoe brands can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Nike, Reebok, Puma, Adidas, Skechers, Toms. Zappas. Adidas, Puma.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. The text line is saying Desmond Howard. Okay, that makes sense. He said Dwight Howard, but meant Desmond Howard.
Yeah, Desmond Howard. That
wasn't Desmond Howard. Okay, once you said it, I couldn't think of who it was, but text line. I don't say this very often. You were right. How many did we get?
My apologies for calling you a simpleton, Bank. You were probably thinking Desmond Howard because he loves football. That's his thing. That's where he was going. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got 6.
All right, let's see if Kling is a shoe-ster. Hit it.
Puma, New Balance, Adidas, Nike, Brooks, Fila, Asics, Reebok.
I see we're still thrown off of my lingo, calling him a shoe-ster. You know what I mean?
Reebok put Kling over the top with 7. Although Brooks, I can't really confirm or deny. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, that sounds like real. You know how you can be like a fashionista? He's a shoe-ster.
Did you just make that up, or is that a real term in the
shoe world? It sounded like a really cool thing to call him, you know? Okay. It sounded like a really cool thing.
So I'm not missing something. You made up a word and expected me to know what the made-up word was.
That would definitely get you a triple word score on Scrabble.
Is Brooks,
Words with Friends.
Are Brooks, is that like New Balance? Like, you got to be 45 and white or older to wear them. Is that like New Balances, kind of? What are Brooks? I've never heard of Brooks.
They sound like dress shoes, but I...
Oh, they
kind
be.
Of have the logo almost looks like Saucony.
Okay. Saucony, another good one. I used to rock Diadoras.
No, these
those?
Are like running shoes.
You don't know what Brooks are, do you?
I just Googled it. I mean, I've seen this shoe before, but I would not have guessed. I thought it was
old
like a dress shoe. I thought it was like a dress shoe.
Or, I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to sign with Brooks anytime soon. That's all I'm saying.
Or you got to be a runner. Like, it seems like one of those like long distance cross country kind of shoes that you would wear. Sounds like Tim and Olathe is the winner of our Royals and Red Sox tickets today. Another beautiful rendition of Pick a Player. Coming up on the other side, we take our trip around the NFL on a Friday. It's the Drive.
It's about time.
The biggest stories from around the league.
We got a chance to come out here and play football.
It's time to go around the NFL. Take it away, Speck.
Coming up at 4:30, we will get back into the NBA draft. Porter drafted, Devontae Graham drafted, Speed drafted, Malik Newman. Did not hear his name called yesterday, but that doesn't make him exempt from Drive conversations. We'll get back into the NBA draft coming up in about 10 minutes. But right now, let's get on our mopeds and take a trip around the NFL.
On the Around the NFL podcast on Wednesday, a question was asked, who's going to have more catches, Tyreek Hill or Sammy Watkins? This was Andy Benoit's answer.
Tyreek Hill, kind of for the Antonio Brown reason, they'll get him some quick catches, the extended handoffs that count as a catch, so for taking this in a literal sense. But then Tyreek Hill's better than Sammy. I'm surprised he didn't get closer to our discussion of top 10 receivers, Tyreek Hill, that is. He's a better player than Watkins. He became a very good receiver last year, and he was a true wide receiver. They didn't use him on the gadgetry as much last season.
So is there any question that Sammy Watkins is going to have more catches than Tyreek Hill, or is it clearly Tyreek Hill?
That was Andy Benoit's voice, correct? I wanted to make sure.
Yes, Andy Benoit.
Andy Benoit said everything that I think. I know Sammy Watkins maybe is a bigger name to some people, but Tyreek Hill is the better wide receiver in 2018. And what he said at the end there, it wasn't gadget stuff last year the way it was in year one with Tyreek Hill. He made the transition to be a legitimate wide receiver. I was talking to somebody about this a couple days ago. He is what we thought Percy Harvin was going to be, a healthier version at this point. Tyreek Hill's the better wide receiver, so if I think he's a better wide receiver, then yes, I will take him in 2018. Not saying that I don't think Watkins is going to be good in 2018. Hill just knows the offense more, has stayed healthier over the last couple of seasons, and has already built the rapport up with Patrick Mahomes over the last two seasons. I'm taking Hill over Watkins in 2018.
Yeah, the question was receptions. If we were talking Wes Welker, a guy in the slot that's going to catch the ball 120 times, he still might only end up with 7 or 8 touchdowns, but he's going to catch the ball a lot. That's not the case here with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that Tyreek Hill is the, I don't want to say he's the obvious number one weapon, because you could probably argue that 3 or even 4 guys are the number one weapon on that side of the ball. But look at the first couple of years in the career of Tyreek Hill. As a rookie, he was way better than we expected. Last year, he outperformed even what he did in year one. There's nothing that makes me think that heading into this season, Tyreek Hill by season's end won't have somewhere between 80 to 90 catches. He's going to get the targets a lot, especially because you add a Sammy Watkins, so there's not going to be as much double coverage. And then you look at the stats spec and the career of a guy like Sammy Watkins, he's never had a 70-catch season. So I think it's blasphemy to say that Sammy Watkins is going to have more receptions than Tyreek Hill.
Double tackle? I hit it, too. I didn't know you were going to hit it.
Oh, my bad. I got it all covered over here. Was reading around Arrowhead Pride. Shocking.
I'm messing with you.
Happy Friday to everybody out there. Was reading around Arrowhead Pride today. Came across this. Pro Football Weekly says that Tano Passanio is going to be the AFC breakout player on defense. You buying this?
I am buying it a little bit. We were told whenever they drafted Tano Passanio that year one, he was going to not see the field and he was going to struggle. And in year two, we'd see a big step forward. We were talking to Joe Mays about this yesterday, that for a lot of NFL players, the biggest jump you feel like you take in your career is from year one to year two. That's where we're at in Passanio. You drafted him with the expectation of year two, year three, you were going to see dividends. So I'm expecting to see dividends. That's why I picked him as my AFC, or excuse me, not AFC, but Chiefs breakout player of the year. I think we're going to see certainly a lot more production from Tano Passanio than we did last season.
Speaking of Arrowhead Pride, you guys caught that new show on Thursday nights? Heard that Arrowhead Pride Radio?
That's all right.
Here on 610? Yeah, it's all right at best. I think...
At best is really pushing it.
It really is. I think that Chris Jones is actually going to be the breakout player on this defense. As a rookie, he was awesome. Last year, he left a lot to be desired, but I don't really know why. I think this year, he's going to be the guy that we go, wow, he ended up being a Pro Bowler. He ended up being the guy that we expected when the Chiefs drafted him, because as a rookie, he was awesome. When it comes to passing, yo, I just got to see it, man. I'm not saying that he can't do it, and I think at some point the Chiefs are going to need him to perform on the field. But I'm going to temper my expectations, because there have been plenty of times when I've really excited about a guy that really all I've ever seen is his YouTube highlights and college clips. So I hope he's as good as you're talking about. I do think he's going to get the opportunity. I'm just going to wait and see.
Arrowhead Pride, another great link from our friends over there at Arrowhead Pride. Every Thursday night at 6 o'clock, Royals permitting. CBS Sports said take the over on 8 wins for the Chiefs, but they had this nugget. Even if the Chiefs start 2-4 to start the season, you still take the over. Buying that?
It's so hard to say how the team's going to respond if you finish 2-4. I understand they've done that in years past. That was a completely different quarterback and a completely different mindset, I think, for the organization. I would take the over on 8 wins. I think Andy Reid and the amount of options they have on offense are certainly enough for you to win more than 8 games this season. This feels like at minimum a 9-7 team. Maybe I am overestimating, and I know I've been saying that we should temper expectations with Patrick Mahomes. I just think even if Mahomes is all right, I'm not saying he has to go out there and has to be Russell Wilson in year one, but even if he throws 20 touchdown passes and 11 interceptions, I think there's enough weapons on offense for this team to at least be a competitive football team and at least win 8-9 games this season. So if you're asking me today, I would take the over on 8 wins.
2-4 out the gates. I'm going to check out that schedule here in just a second. I will admit that setting the over-under for the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs has to be, and I don't think this is hyperbole, I'm serious, the most difficult over-under line heading into a season that Las Vegas has ever had. Think about it. Since Andy Reid has been here, they've won double-digit games. They've won the division 2 years in a row. They've got maybe as much talent on one side of the ball as anybody in the league, yet they've got essentially a rookie quarterback. So what I think Vegas did, I think they took all that into equation. They were like, crap, man, I don't know. Let's go with 8. That sounds like a good number. We'll go with 500. I agree with you, man. I think even if the S hits the fan, even if Mahomes underperforms, even if there's an injury that we can't expect that happens, this team still wins 9 or 10 football games. Just if you're curious, here is the Chiefs' schedule at the beginning of the season. They open up against the Chargers, and then it's the 49ers, the Jaguars, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Rams. Given that schedule, I think 3-3 at worst through the first 6 games is most likely.
Coming up on the other side, the NBA draft was yesterday. We saw Michael Porter get drafted to the Denver Nuggets. We saw Devontae Graham get drafted. He is now in Charlotte. And we saw Svi Mykhailiuk go to the Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about the NBA draft and what transpired last night coming up on the drive. Back in on the drive, Carrington here, Sean Levine here, Spectre here. Taking you up until 6 o'clock. We'll get to the hits coming up at 5. I believe we have one more pair of Royals tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour. So we will do that during a commercial break. But, Sports Machine,
yeah,
once again, you were incorrect about something, and now we got to go back and we got to erase over your hair.
Yep. Pepper Jack's Grill Famous Philly text line from the 816 points out that the previous segment, when I said the Chiefs opened the season against Johnson County Community College and then they go on the road to play the Little Giants, I was actually wrong. Here's the
Shocking.
Chiefs' first 6 games at the Chargers, at Pittsburgh. Whoa, talk about a tough start to the season. Then they come home to Arrowhead, face the 49ers, and then at the Broncos, Jacksonville at home, and then at New England. Now that I know the actual schedule, 2-4 out the gates does start to seem a little bit more realistic.
Let's start with the NBA draft, and let's start a little bit differently maybe than people think we're going to do. I know I'm a Missouri fan, so the expectation to tell you what I think about Michael Porter, and we certainly will talk about Michael Porter. Maybe this is not a correct thing to say, a cool thing to say, because I cheer for the Missouri Tigers, so I'm supposed to hate everything that wears crimson and blue. I'm really happy for Devontae Graham. Like, legitimately happy. If you've done some reading about Devontae Graham or you're a KU fan, so you're pretty familiar with his backstory, his mother was 14 when she had Devontae Graham. You guys know that initially he didn't commit to Kansas. He committed to Appalachian State. He then had to go to prep school. He then went to the University of Kansas, turned himself into up National Player of the Year potential guy, first team All Big 12,
Big 12 Player of the Year
yeah, last season, led Kansas to a Final Four, will eventually have his name up in the Raptors with the all-time great Kansas basketball players. And to see his name called has to be such a moment, in a very special moment in his family, a very proud moment in his family, that I don't care what team he plays for. Like, on a very human level, I am very happy that we are talking about Devontae Graham being drafted here. Not saying that you can't be undrafted and play your way into the NBA. Like,
sure,
we've certainly seen guys that do it. But there is a different sense of accomplishment whenever you have everybody there with you and then you see Adam Silver say your name and knowing that you were included as one of the 60 best basketball players in that class.
Unlike you, I've constantly got my crimson and blue shades on. That's my alma mater. I'm KU through and through. I completely agree with you. I think it's awesome that Devontae Graham... Interesting that you pointed out Devontae Graham got drafted in the exact same spot that Frank Mason got drafted, because as good as Mason was, right, Big 12 Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, I don't think anybody expected in their wildest dreams that the point guard position wouldn't take a step back the next season. Devontae Graham was every bit as good as Frank Mason was, and frankly, and again, maybe this is just with my crimson and blue shades that I'm wearing, I think both of those guys are going to have long, successful NBA careers. Look, Bill Self, the only superstar that he's ever put into the NBA is Joel Embiid. And I think we still need to wait a couple of years to see how that ends up playing out. But he has had a lot of guys in the mold of like a Cole Aldrich that make a lot of money, that have a really long career, but don't really necessarily ever have that moment in the NBA. I think that's what's going to happen in the case of both Devontae Graham and Frank Mason. I think they stick around. They make $30, $40 million in the NBA. They play for a decade. Certain guys I watch, like Julian Wright, and I'm like, I just don't see why he'd be a lottery picker. Thomas Robinson, top five, it just didn't make sense to me. I feel the opposite with these guys. I don't think they're ever going to be great, but I think they're going to be serviceable, he said, point guards in the league for a long, long time.
I mean, I could certainly see Devontae Graham being a guy that kind of sticks in the league and plays 8 to 10 years.
Mario Chalmers, just based off
effort. A lot of that is just situation, too. You know what I mean? Like Mario Chalmers, let's say if he gets drafted by the Memphis Grizzlies in the beginning and doesn't play the Miami Heat, I don't know if he sticks in the league. So a lot of it is situation. A lot of it is just being given the room to grow. And we can speak to this from just watching the NBA and certainly knowing how scouting works. Man, some guys, by the time you are 15 years old, you have to really mess it up to not be an NBA player. Like, enough scouts have seen you, the way your career is trending, you're going to be in the NBA. So, man, I got a lot of respect for a guy like Devontae Graham, who, if you're going to Appalachian State, no one thinks you're a future pro, and then you turn yourself into the college player that he turned himself into, and then eventually having your name called in the NBA draft.
And if somebody trades for you on draft day, we saw a ton of those yesterday. It got kind of confusing which team and these guys put on the hat and then never end up playing in that city.
Gotta fix that. That's like a really weird to fan.
Isn't it? But if they trade up to get you on draft day, somebody really wanted you. So Charlotte really was interested in Devontae Graham.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And with Sfee, and we'll get to Michael Porter here, I never really saw it in Sfee's game until this season. Like, I always thought that people thought he was a better shooter than what he really was. I thought people kind of oversold the defender that he was heading into the season.
47th overall pick to the Lakers.
He turned himself into a very complete player this year. Like, there's no denying it. Sfee was certainly worthy to be drafted. He certainly has a lot of room to grow when you factor in his age. He turned himself into an NBA player. I remember reading a story from CJ Moore when they were calling him the Ukrainian LeBron. I'm sitting there watching him play at KU, and I'm like, are we talking about the same Sfee Mykhailiuk? He doesn't look like that to me. He's another guy that developed every single year he was there, got himself better, played himself into a draft pick. Congratulations to him.
No, they were actually talking about the other Sviatoslav Mykhailiuk C-Dot. But look, Sfee, here's the difference. Tyrell Reed, awesome shooter, KU. Brady Morningstar, you can keep going down the list. Mario Chalmers, Brandon Rush, Jeff Boshi. Here's the difference. Sfee is 6'8", closer to 6'9". A lot of people don't realize that because he plays a guard, swingman type position who knocks down threes. If you're 6'8", and you're going to knock down threes, you can stick around the league for a few years.
He won't stick.
Probably not.
Text line 69306. Can you tell us what lottery pick means? Basically, it is a top 14 pick in the NBA draft. The way the NBA does is different than the NFL. They just go sheer on who's the worst team, who's the second worst team, who's the third worst team. The NBA does a lottery system, so it is basically a percentage chance of what you have to have the highest pick.
And if you're a member of the lottery, that means you weren't a playoff team. So 16 teams make the playoffs and the other 14 teams. That makes up a lottery.
And so Michael Porter was selected 14th overall, so he was at the absolute end of the lottery.
Hold on, no love for Malik Newman? Oh, yeah, he didn't get drafted.
He didn't get drafted. Oh, I mean, just Malik Newman. I mean, the question with Malik Newman, and funny you bring him up, the question with Malik Newman is, did you make the right decision? I think a lot of times fans think if you didn't get selected by the NBA, that means you made the wrong decision and you should have went back. Man, I'll always argue just earning potential and starting it earlier. Let's say that Malik Newman goes to a summer league, impresses a team, gets a chance to make a team. He's the 11th guy on the roster. What's better for you? Making NBA league minimum next year or playing in college for free? I'm going to take the money.
Okay, well, we talked about this with Porter Jr. earlier, and I would say you have to go for the money because who knows, maybe you come back next year and you get injured more. But I completely disagree when you're talking about a borderline guy who didn't end up getting drafted. If you're Malik Newman, you come back. Instead of scoring 14.8 points a game, you score, let's call it 18, 20 points a game. And instead of being an undrafted player who has to make a team and play in the G League, maybe you get drafted at the end of the first round and you guarantee yourself at least that first three-year contract. So in the case of Malik Newman, somebody gave that dude bad advice. See, somebody told him they were going to draft him because if not, it was a horrible decision not to go back to Kansas and improve your draft stock because in all likelihood, he's either going to play in the NBA for a minute or never play in the league now.
But was that really going to change with going back to Kansas?
Because, yeah, but it could have.
I mean, we just watched. I mean, I've seen 2 years of Malik Newman. You saw 2 years of Malik Newman. Was he going to be any better than he was the last 8 games at Kansas? I don't know if he was going to be much better than that. That's basically saying that he was going to turn into Buddy Hield. Certainly there are some guys that go to college and then they test the NBA waters. They hear what they need to work on. They go back to school and they blossom. We never talk about the guys like Miles Bridges from Michigan State.
Right.
He would have been a top 5 pick in the NBA draft. He went back because everybody was saying you go back, you can be better.
and he lost money by going back. I just think in these conversations, and not saying you specifically, we're not honest a lot of times with there are a lot of kids that hurt themselves by coming back. That I'm a firm believer.
Grayson Allen.
Yeah, like once you feel like you've hit your potential and that is your hottest point, like Grayson Allen. We agree. Sophomore Grayson Allen gets picked higher than this year's Grayson Allen. How did he make money by going back to Duke? He lost money by going back. He lost money in the draft, and he lost years off earning potential. So I understand the philosophy with a lot of people, but we always play best case scenario. Best case scenario is you're right. Buddy Hield was a junior, went back to Oklahoma, turned himself into a great player. We don't ever talk about the junior that stayed one extra year, twists his ankle, and then he goes undrafted, and now he's overseas. And nothing wrong with going overseas. Right. Nothing wrong with making money. We saw guys like Marcus Dimon become millionaires playing in Greece. So I'm just saying is, if you're Malik Newman and you don't make the NBA, but you can go over to the EuroLeague and sign for $200,000 a year, why should you have gone back to Kansas? You can always still go to the NBA.
My boy Keith Langford has played overseas the last like 15 years. I think he banked, I saw it last, like $40 million. So there's money to be made not in the NBA. For your guys' Grayson Allen example there, the difference is this, right? If Grayson Allen would have left, what was his best year? Was that his sophomore year? Right?
Sophomore year.
If he would have left after his sophomore year, people projected him to be a lottery pick, some people as high as a top 10 pick. The difference was he came back his junior year. He started tripping people. He had to come back his senior year. His draft stock fell a little bit. But it fell from what, 10 to where did he end up getting drafted? Like 17, 18, 21. 21.
How about
that's a big difference between going in the first round or second round, or even worse in the case of Malik Newman, going completely undrafted.
How about another Kansas example in Wayne Selden? Was Wayne Selden really helped by continuing to go to Kansas?
Wayne Selden got pushed out. Like, given the choice, he probably would have come back for a senior year, but that was one of those conversations behind a closed door with Bill Self, where Bill was like, you know what, Wayne? I think maybe we should just both. It's like, you know, when you're breaking up with a girl, it's like kind of mutual, but it's really not. I think Wayne Selden got forced out. There have been a lot of guys at KU that all they did was play a lot at KU or came back for that extra season. Think about a guy like Tariq Black, who's still in the NBA, or Jeff Withey. All those guys really did was play at KU and then end up getting drafted and then end up playing in the NBA for a long time. So sometimes it makes sense to come back just so you can be on that stage one more season.
I just think, when you have the opportunity where you are the hottest that you're going to be, and Malik Newman, I don't know if it's possible for him to be better than he was the last 6 weeks of the college basketball.
But what if he did it for an entire season?
Yeah, but what if he got hurt? Like, again,
then he wouldn't be drafted, and he'd be in the same spot he's in right now.
But, I mean, he wouldn't be drafted, and maybe he doesn't get a summer league invite. Again, I just think whenever we have these conversations when guys get drafted, our conversation only shifts to, well, what if they come back and do really well? Well, what if they come back and don't do really well? Like, sometimes if somebody's offering you the money right there, it's kind of like deal or no deal. You're right. You can roll the dice and see what happens. But what if you struggle next season? What if you get injured next season? Somebody is handing you the opportunity. We agree. Somebody is going to play Malik Newman money to play basketball next season. I'd much rather make money than go to Kansas. No disrespect to KU. But if somebody's going to hand me $90,000 next year and it doesn't eliminate you from playing in the NBA, we see a lot of guys go this undrafted route, eventually stick on the roster and play themselves into what? Yogi Ferrell from Indiana. So it's not like it doesn't happen every year that a guy who is in Malik Newman's situation plays himself, plays really well in summer league, works himself into it, and gets on an NBA roster. And plus, a team likes you enough to sign a two-way contract. The Lakers really like you as a player.
Absolutely, but in the case of Malik Newman, right, now that we know how it's actually worked out, went undrafted, was awesome in the NCAA tournament, ended up, I think, leading KU in scoring, or he was right up there. But CDOT, in hindsight, if we're talking about specifically Malik Newman, not a guy like Malik Newman, not a bunch of guys that have been in that same scenario, but actual Malik Newman, in hindsight, today, don't you think that he wishes he would have pulled his name from the NBA draft and was coming back to Kansas instead of going to play for the Reno Bighorns for the next couple of seasons?
I got to see what the money is with the Lakers. I just don't know what the money is with the Lakers. Like, maybe it's a, if you make the team, it's a $500,000 guarantee. I'd much rather roll the dice and get that $500,000 guarantee to play for Lakers than go back to Kansas, Duke, Missouri, Kentucky, you name the university. You just can't pass up on money like that because the NBA opportunity is, I mean, the college opportunity, you can always go back to school. You get these opportunities in the NBA to make money. To me, you have to grab those opportunities. Coming up on the other side, there is an anniversary that absolutely needs to be celebrated. We'll do it next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, we were having a conversation about Malik Newman, who went undrafted yesterday in the NBA draft. And if he could go back and stay in school, would he do it? Someone on the text line asked, what is league minimum? The Pepper Jack's Grill famous Philly text line, what's league minimum? It's just under $600,000. So he signed a two-way contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. That is essentially a, if he makes the team, he goes on the Lakers. If he doesn't make the team, he goes to their D-League program. If he makes the Lakers, it's a minimum of $600,000.
Which sounds awesome until you realize that the last pick of the first round, whatever an Omari Spellman is that the Atlanta Hawks took, he's going to make $3.5 million just for getting drafted in the first round, which is my only argument of why you should go back to school. You've clearly never been to the Hawk in Lawrence, Kansas, right? You get to play at Allen Fieldhouse for Bill Self. I can't remember a player at KU that's had – what do you think he would average coming back next year? 18 a game?
I don't think he would be that much.
He was 15 a game last year.
Not with a better roster.
Yeah, team's a lot better this year.
He was 15 a game. To say he's going to average three more points. Anyway, we got in this argument with Svee last year, so we don't need to do this again. But my point is, let's say he was 16 a game or 17 a game. I think then he would be drafted probably late first round, early second round to get guaranteed money. To me, that's the only difference is, do you want to come back? In the case of Michael Porter Jr., you go and you take your money because you've got the injury concerns and because the money is still a ton. In the case of Malik Newman, it's not like you were not drafted in the first round, but you were drafted in the second round. You weren't drafted at all.
I just think we have this conversation far too many times about guys who go back and get better, and we don't have the conversation about guys like Bridges. Like Miles Bridges from Michigan State would have been a top three pick in last year's NBA draft. He went back for a sophomore season. Everybody applauded. He lost money. He made a terrible decision. He made a terrible decision. We just see time and time again when they offer you the money, you need to take it. When the NBA comes a knocking and they offer you, like, the reason you're in college basketball for a lot of these guys is to get an opportunity to play in the NBA. He's getting an opportunity to play in the league.
I just disagree. To say that it was a terrible decision for Miles Bridges, who maybe would have gotten drafted third. Last night he ended up getting drafted 12th, and he's going to make $7.1 million per year. You can't ever say terrible decision and making $7.1 million per year in the same sentence. It doesn't make sense.
You lose out on $5 million, you can.
Last year he lost out on money. How much money did he make last season? And it's Michigan State. Like, So last year for Michigan State, he made $200,000, allegedly. He could have got $7 million from an NBA team. I mean, he made a terrible financial decision. Now, he might have had fun and going to the Hawk. You say I've never been to the Hawk before. You're right. I also haven't been rich and live in Los Angeles either. I can't imagine I make $600,000 a year. I play on the Lakers. That seems a little better than going to the Hawk. To me, it sounds a little bit better. It sounds better than being the man at Harpo's.
You think L.A.'s better than the Jayhawks?
Just
a little bit.
Just a smidgen. You know what I mean? Just a smidgen. Now, someone says the money playing international is as good as the money at KU. I don't know about that. Because if they're paying Silvio De Sousa $200,000, I mean, I don't – tell me what somebody like Malik Newman goes for on the open market.
Oh, man. Hey, I apologize.
That was wrong of me to say. Today is an anniversary. I forgot about this anniversary, but Spectre did not forget. 1 year ago today, Stephen A. Smith almost incited a riot.
I'm going to do you a favor, my brother. I'm going to leave it to you because if it comes out of my mouth and I sit up there and I literally articulate the stuff that this man has done since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'll tell you right now, if it comes out of my mouth, I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now. His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom. Who was on crack?
Phil or Lamar?
I don't mean to be. Listen, I love Lamar Odom, the person, and God bless him. We're wishing nothing but the best. But metaphorically speaking, he saw his first move as the executive of the New York Knicks was to sign Lamar Odom, who was on crack.
Oh, Stephen A. Stephen A. What I love most about Stephen A. Smith is I've never seen someone who has the ability to seemingly be angry about everything. Like tomorrow, Cleveland could decide to make Tyrod Taylor their starting quarterback. He could be really mad that it's not Baker Mayfield. Like, bro, it's not that big of a deal. Like, Baker's going to start at some point. But no, he's really bad about it. The beautiful thing about Stephen A. Smith is this isn't even his best rant. We've had Slava Medvedenko. We've had the Kwame Brown rant. I mean, the Lamar Odom one's good. This isn't even his best rant.
I usually, you're
a fan of Stephen A. Smith.
And I'm not.
Who is a bottom feeder, I heard.
I usually don't like him. I'm usually annoyed by him. I usually turn the channel. But that was pretty good. I'll admit, that was pretty good. That was pretty pissed off.
Somebody said he gave metaphorically 8 syllables.
He did?
Who was on crack?
It's one thing.
Cut the damn music. Good afternoon. This is Stephen A.
The hell with the music right now. I am having a very bad day. I'm having a very bad day. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty damn ticked off. I mean, I cannot believe the kind of nonsense that I am hearing right now. And I don't know how much of this I'm going to take today. I'll be the first to admit it. I am warning y'all ahead of time. Do not call me today and get on my damn nerves. I'm trying to tell you something right now. ESPN's not going to stop me, damn it. FCC Airways might not stop me. I'm that ticked off. I mean, I'm sitting up here and it's bad enough. But then I wake up this morning and I grab my oatmeal, throw some almond milk in there, some cinnamon, and some little bit of brown sugar, some blueberries. After I drink my green smoothie drink, and I go on First Take, and while I'm on First Take, I receive the news that the New York Knicks are open to trading Kristaps Porzingis. I'm having a very bad day.
It's a lot of stuff going on, and it's all good in respective cities, it seems, except New York.
Those of you that grew up in a black church, you know what I'm talking about. Stephen A. Smith sounds like the one old woman in your church.
Good afternoon.
You know the woman I'm talking about. That's louder than everybody else. Her hallelujahs are just a little too loud.
Can I get a hallelujah?
The amens are a little bit too
loud. Amen, brother.
You guys know, if you've been to a black church before, every black church has that older black woman. That's who Stephen A. Smith sounds like.
He really went into his breakfast in detail. Like, in detail. Had a coffee and cream and malto meal. Like, all right, bro, I don't really care what you ate.
He really was. I had a green smoothie.
I'm with you, though, on the Lamar Odom crackhead thing. Like, it's one thing when the Miami Dolphins decided to sign Ricky Williams, right?
I had some coffee, two lumps of sugar.
His very first move as the executive was to sign Lamar Odom. Who was on crack?
Like, if you're the Miami Dolphins and you decide to sign Ricky Williams knowing that he's a pothead, that's one thing, right? The guy's a pothead. He might be lazy. He might be a little bit hungry. He might be a little bit forgetful. Lamar Odom was a crackhead.
I wish had Stephen my A. toast. Lightly toasted. With grape jelly. I had a bagel. And an English muffin.
Since he has been the executive of the New York Knicks, I'm going to lose my mind. I ain't going to be able to do the rest of the show. I'll tell you right now. It comes out of my mouth. I'm not going to be able to control myself because I'm barely able to right now.
I had orange juice. Why was there pulp in it? Coming up on the other. Somebody said, so basically Stephen A. Smith is Madea. That is exactly who Stephen A. Smith is. He is Madea. Coming up in 120 seconds, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Alcides Escobar is playing center field. Coming up on the Drive.
I'm having a very bad day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.